Welcome to the Tour Junkies Fantasy Golf Podcast for the Waste Management Phoenix Open 2018. As always, the Tour Junkies Podcast brought to you by 18 Birdies, the fastest growing golf app in the business and the most complete golf app in the business. You can download now on iPhone and Android. What's going on, golf addicts? David with the Tour Junkies. Thanks for downloading, as always. We're going to break down the waste management in this episode. We're also going to recap the Farmers, Tiger Week, his comeback, how good he looked, how excited we are. The playoff between Jason Day and Alex Noren. A PGA Tour player is going to get a new nickname tonight on the show. We're going to make an announcement about a new addition to the Tour Junkies family that we are extremely excited about. You do not want to miss, and how you can get involved. It's going to be phenomenal. It's going to increase our content all for free, all for you. It's good stuff. Don't forget the road to Augusta. Don't forget the iTunes contest, and you can get $250 in Augusta National Pro Shop credit. It's good stuff. And, of course, we want to see you here Masters Week, so come hang out with us, fantasy draft, all that good stuff. But before we do, we got to remind you guys, if you've not already downloaded the 18 Birdies app, why not? We did some stuff with 18 Birdies and their crowd at the PGA show this past week. Continues to be such an amazing platform, such an amazing golf app. You need to do yourself a favor and download it if you've not already. Using promo code TOURJUNKIES, you get some free premium access. So whether you're using the app, on the course, off the course, whatever, there's content for everybody. Be sure and check it out. Thanks again. We hope you guys enjoy the show, and as always, may your screens be green. What's up, golf addicts? It's David Barnett here with the Tour Junkies. Pat Perry, you out there, buddy? You ready to go?
I'm here. I am out here.
You're out there somewhere?
Somewhere.
I think. Somewhere out there. Remember that band? You know that band?
No, I don't.
No. I think it was Our Lady Peace, maybe. Remember them? A little 90s, 2000s kind of alternative band. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Good group. How you feeling this week, buddy? Feeling good? It's Waste Management Open Week, the rowdiest golf tournament in all of the land. Excited?
Extremely excited. This is one of those just rare tournaments throughout the year that is fun to watch. I would imagine it's fun to be at. And it's got a good field, so I'm pumped. I mean, now we don't have Tiger, but that's okay. We had him last week. We got a little bit of feel of Tiger last week, and we'll get him next week. But I'm pumped about it. I love it. Great course, by the way, too. I think this is an underrated course on tour, as far
TPC
as
Scottsdale.
Fun courses to play.
Yeah, TPC Scottsdale. We'll get to that in a minute. But you mentioned Tiger Week. We're coming off of Tiger's return, the big return to me. It means more than the hero. But Pat, what a tournament! The Farmers Insurance Open, won actually today by Jason Day in a very dramatic playoff with Alex Noren. And
poor Alex Noren.
Poor Anor. I'm going to call him Anor.
Poor Anor.
You know, most Alexes, they go by like A and then the first three letters, like A-Rod. And
yes, yeah.
I can only think of A-Rod. But A-Nor, I think, is good. I think that's a good one. But yeah, poor guy. I mean, of course, there was the drama on 18 coming down the stretch with J.B. Holmes taking 4.5 minutes to decide to then lay up when he had to make an eagle to get into the playoff, which is weird. The whole slow play debate because it took 6 hours. I mean, the PGA Tour and the slow play thing is just a total cluster bang. I'm not really interested in getting into all the ways that they might could fix it, but it is bad. I'm pretty sure they know it's bad, and the players are over it. So I do have confidence in Jay Monahan that we give him a little more time as commish. I think he'll get some stuff worked out. At the end of the day, I think they just need to enforce the rule, but they don't. They don't enforce the rule with every player. They just don't. Anyway, it was interesting. Jason Day wins, but Tiger's return did not disappoint, if you ask me. Now, you know, I got it wrong. I thought his chipping was going to be the problem. It was not his chipping.
It was not.
That was the problem.
And you even tweeted out Friday, you said something about his chipping.
Well,
you were right, but I don't think you were. I think you're wrong.
Yeah, I mean, it was kind of like early touting it's like screenshotting your green screens on Thursday or Friday, you know.
Which happens a lot.
It does happen a lot, but at that point, I was right. I mean, he made a horrible chip on that one off of a tight lie, which I did think showed the yips a little bit. But he settled in, and he did make some spectacular chips from the rough and from other tough lies and tight lies.
He showed a little bit of his old self. His putter was okay.
He did, man. Driver was just, the twist face was twisting him off the grid.
It was.
He did nothing for TaylorMade's twist face sales this week.
Well, Jason Day took care of that. But does it matter, or did you, like, what about how hard he was swinging at some of these shots? Like, I was shocked to see, like, I mean, it looked vintage Tiger out there, healthy. He didn't, like, cringe after shots when he hit, you know, just was using just so much force. Like, that, he is violent when he plays, and it just, like, I don't know. I was impressed. I think he is fully healthy.
He really did look good. I mean, he looked healthy. It just seems to be a sequencing issue with the driver, but man,
sequencing.
I mean, sequencing issue. I stole that from our friend Peter Costas, right? It's exciting. It definitely gets me excited for Masters even more so, because hopefully it'll get my house and my badges rented quicker. But yeah, it's Augusta's going to be nuts. I'm excited for Riviera in a couple weeks. I think this is legit, man. I think this is the Tiger comeback we wanted last year, but he's healthy and he looked good. I mean, I do think, you know, I think we predicted for him a best case scenario is like a top 40. He finished tied for what, 23rd. He got luck of the draw there on Sunday. I mean, if you teed off early Sunday or mid morning Sunday, you were at a big advantage. I mean, by the time the sun and the wind hit those greens, those Poa greens in the afternoon, it was just like hang on time. I mean,
yeah. Well, I mean, look at what we saw with like Keegan Bradley getting up there, just sneaking up into the top five. Like I there was a point where I was like, you know what, Keegan Bradley might sneak into the playoff here.
Yeah,
and then Charles Howell had a good final round, but yeah, they did luck out a little bit there.
I think even Tiger was stuck on that one tee box for 23 minutes, and in the 23 minutes he moved up like four spots, you know, on the leaderboard just sitting there. So there was definitely that effect. But I was pleased, man. Everybody's excited. Tiger looks like he's back. I don't really feel like we have to wait for Riviera to say that. I've heard a couple people say they still want to see it at Riv, but I mean, he scrambled really well. His iron game looked good. His putting looked good. You had the numb nuts that screamed out loud in the middle of his backstroke. That was kind of a deal. That's just, oh, God. That really annoys me. It just gives us it gives Americans kind of a bad look. Because I don't think that happens on the European Tour for people. Like, they just hear mashed potatoes and, you know, get in the hole on some dumb shot every day. You just, why do we have those guys?
Can you imagine if he had tried that at the Masters?
God. No, he'd be missing right now. He wouldn't even be escorted. He wouldn't just be escorted off the grounds. He'd be missing.
It's just so stupid. Like, I mean, if you were out there listening to us and this is something that you would do, here's what I want to tell you. Stop being just, you're a jerk. You're like the jerk of the year. Nobody wants to hear you say freaking get in the hole before the freaking putter has even hit the ball. It pisses me off.
Yeah.
Sorry, you're going to have to use the mute button there, I guess.
It's not a good look. No, that's not a good look. Our picks, man. You know, our picks were looking better early Friday than they did late Friday. We had some guys freaking miss the cut on the number and just screw so many people. God. Johnny Vegas. Shane Lowry just lost his mind on the back nine on Friday. Ollie, Xander, Ricky Fowler, who you were on and I was against. My boy Seamus Power on the last hole lost it. Ugh. Stuart Sink, another one you liked and I was against. See, actually, two of our miscuts were guys you liked and I didn't.
What are you? Why do you keep pointing out that fact? Like, there's plenty of guys that you liked that I may not have liked that didn't make the cut either.
Yeah, I had guys that missed the cut. Yes, I'm just saying we did.
So
why
are you pointing out the ones that I?
Because those were the ones I knew that I disagreed with, Fowler and Sink, and they both missed the cut. That's it. You're welcome to keep track too, old man. If you can remember, can you remember?
No, I don't write this shit.
Of course, I looked like a genius on Thursday with Sangmoon Bay, and then he sang Moon Bay on Friday.
Yeah, that was a great call. Good job there.
By the way, man, this tool on YouTube, on our YouTube video that we did for Rotogrinders, is like, imagine getting paid to tout Sangmoon Bay. First of all, I'm like, okay. Listen, bro, you don't even know if we get paid.
Yeah.
Second,
let's
if we
set
did,
some people straight here.
Do you really think like we get paid a lot to do a video like that? Third, it's called the Flyer of the Week. It's picking a guy at the bottom who's going to be low-owned, who's risky, who's a GPP play with some upside. And on Thursday, I bet you're thinking I was a freaking genius. But why do people do that? I don't even understand that. I don't even understand that. Like, come at me if, you know, I tell them to put him, you know, I tell you need to put him in your core or something, which we didn't do. Some guys we got right, though. I mean, Rosie with the top seven. Leishman played well. Finau played well. Woodland played great. Woodland is sucking on Thursdays. The last couple tournaments, horrible on Thursday, lights it up the rest of the week.
He wasn't winning. That great on Sunday.
No, he wasn't great on Sunday, but nobody was.
No, that's true.
CH3, JB Holmes. I think that's probably the call of the week. Way to go, man. He was like $7,300.
Pretty sure
you liked JB Holmes. Holmes. Yeah.
Holmes.
I was all over J.J. Spahn. He had another top 10 here. We both continue to love Brandon Harkins. Robert Garrigus was another one that we both liked, who Garrigus had a top 10, I believe.
Wasn't he my flyer play of the week?
He was. He was. So, yeah, I mean, we had some good calls. We had some good calls.
It went all like that.
We were also at the PGA show last week. If you guys haven't seen, we posted a few videos. Now, we don't do a whole lot on our own YouTube channel, but we are on the YouTubes. We're on that, and it's just Tour Junkies, so go subscribe. We don't do a lot, but we'd like to try to do a little bit more. We got a couple videos up there that I think are interesting. Number one, we interviewed Eric Anders Lang, who, if you don't know who he is, you need to. He's a stud. He is for Scratch Golf and Adventures in Golf. Check him out on YouTube. We interviewed him at the PGA show. He's hilarious. He called me out for having a fake mic. He was funny. And then also published so far, we did a little thing where we walked around and had people make DraftKings lineups before Torrey Pines, and I roasted their picks or approved of their picks. Had maybe a familiar face in there that made a lineup you guys might recognize, but just had a good time mingling with the crowd there at the PGA show. It was great to meet a few of you guys who listen to the show regularly. I know Derek, Ethan, Jack, a couple of guys that we met, a few guys that we met there, all great guys. Loved connecting with you. Enjoyed it. And then we'll have another video published shortly where me and Pat had people go on a PGA show scavenger hunt and point out interesting things at the PGA show and embarrass themselves. So
yeah,
check out our YouTube channel for those. We tweeted them too. They're pretty funny.
By the way, I believe if you subscribe to the YouTube channel that you get our Rotogrinders video, that comes through that feed too. So,
oh, fancy.
You didn't know that?
I did not know that, and nor do I fully believe that that's accurate, but I'm going to let you go with that. We're just gonna move on. But the PGA show was great. We had a good time, hung out with some old friends, had some laughs, lots of laughs.
We played
good time,
night
man.
Golf.
We played night golf with 18 birdies,
which I was terrible. I was awful.
You were pretty bad. I pretty much carried our team.
Yeah. Well, we lost.
We lost on the final hole in a playoff, but nonetheless, we were in there. Played night golf, 18 birdies, was fun. Yeah, it was a good time, man. PGA show's good. Every year we get a little more and more wise as to what to do and not to do, though. You know, like next year I think we're going to cut out demo day so we don't all have to expose the world to your golf swing on
Periscope.
Yeah,
I'm done. I'm kind of done with demo day.
Yeah. But anyway, it's a lot of walking. I looked at my Apple Watch today, actually. We walked 19,000 steps on Wednesday. And 17,000 on Thursday. I did.
I wasn't there on Thursday, but I do believe we walked 19,000 steps.
Yeah.
That also included walking the par 3 night golf course, right?
Yes. Yes, it did. Highlight of the PGA show, or low light, depending on how you look at it. I lost our Twitter poll last week, which I'm pissed at because you people, I think, just did this because you feel sorry for Pat.
Mm-hmm.
But I put up a Twitter poll last week.
No, that's not true at all.
Yeah, of who had the best Tiger roar. Me and Pat opened the show last week with a Tiger roar.
Man, it was
yours was challenged sounding.
It was cartoonish.
Yikes. Well, anyway, I said that whoever the loser is has to do something embarrassing at the PGA show. I lost. So we were in the Travis Matthew booth, which is the greatest booth at the PGA show every year running without fail. And they were serving drinks and doing karaoke. And so I did karaoke. I did California Love by Dr. Dre and Tupac. Hope that doesn't hurt anybody's feelings, but I did California Love, and I think I nailed it. I think I nailed it. And
you did a good job. I think I was periscoping that.
You did.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know, though. That's not embarrassing for you. I mean, you do that stuff all the time.
It's hard to do. Yeah, it is hard to do. It's hard to do. So okay. I fulfilled my obligation. If you periscoped it, hopefully it's already gone by now, so nobody can go back and look at it.
I don't know. That'd be cool. Go check it out if it's still on there.
We must remind you guys before we move on of the Road to Augusta. That is a huge deal. Okay. Road to Augusta, that is how you get to the Masters, all expenses paid. That's round trip airfare, hotel for two nights, a ticket to the Friday second round of the Masters to hang out with me and Pat and one really cool guy from Fantasy Draft. And your food and drinks. It's going to be a phenomenal trip. This is our second annual Road to Augusta, I can proudly say. It's going to be a good time. You will not want to miss it. And it is presented by Fantasy Draft and Roto Grinders. So shout out to those guys. Here's how you enter real quick. All you have to do is you have to sign up for a Fantasy Draft account. If you don't have one already, you sign up for one. And you can use the promo code TOURJUNKIESRG. All one word, Tour Junkies RG. Or you can go through our link, which we've posted on Twitter a couple times. We'll try to post it again tomorrow and go that route. excuse me. Then all you have to do is enter one paid PGA contest, okay? And you get 1 point. If you enter the PGA Tour card, which is the name of the contest, it's a $25 GPP. If you enter that, you get 5 entries for each entry into that. Now, you can do this every week from literally now until leading up to the week before Masters. You can do this every week, and you get those entries added to your name every single time. So you get better odds of winning the more contests you play in, right? That's the whole point of Fantasy Draft doing this. They want people on their platform. It's a great platform. They're driving traffic, driving engagement. We love the guy at Fantasy Draft, the guys at Fantasy Draft, and it's a great product, so why not? And we want to hang out with somebody that loves DFS and the Masters on Friday. It's going to be a good time. Did it last year on Monday. It was baller. We had a great time. We made a friend in Michael Riva. He was our contest winner. Now, if you're already on Fantasy Draft, guess what? You don't have to do anything but keep playing. So just play. Same contest, same points. All you got to do is play. You don't have to email us. You don't have to tweet anybody. You don't have to do anything. Any of those entries in a paid PGA contest, you get 1 point. And if it's the tour card, you get 5 points. Same thing from now until the week leading up to Masters. So there you go. Tour Junkies RG is the promo code. Anything else to add to that, Pat?
No, I think you did a great job with that. And all I will say is that typically if we go off of last year, I'll be in pretty good form on that Friday.
Yes.
So if you like recent form, if that's one of the things you like when you're looking at a golfer.
Recent form.
Yeah. My recent form is really good for this.
More like
event.
Course history. That was your last year. That was your course history.
Yeah.
Your course history is strong to quite strong.
Yeah. It's not. Yeah. Yes. You're right. It's not recent form. It's course history. So.
Yeah. 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 Now, the other thing is, too, listen, they're going to fly you in on Thursday, right? There's probably going to be some good times on Thursday night. There's always some action. Every night of the week, Masters Week in Augusta, there's something going on. So you may even get two nights hanging out with the Tour Junkies, you know, and maybe even Ms. Domination makes an appearance. You get to meet her. It's going to be the trip of a lifetime for one lucky winner. Now, here's the thing. If we draw your name on that day, you better freaking have your permission slip signed. You know, we said that last year, and the first two people whose names we drew, their boss wouldn't let them off work to go to the
That's
Masters.
The most ridiculous thing
All
I've
expenses
ever
paid.
Yeah.
So if, yeah, I mean, if you're getting into this contest, I'm just saying, like, be ready. Be ready.
Be ready.
We got to know.
Yeah. Don't be fake ready.
Yeah. Yeah, don't be fake ready. That's just weird. Also, really quick contest reminder, the iTunes review contest is still up and running. And what do you get for that, Pat?
You get $250 in swag from the Pro Shop at the Augusta National. Now, we say Pro Shop, that means the shop that everybody that gets into the tournament shops at. But you know what? Not everybody gets into the tournament. And there is some fantastic stuff in there. I mean, like, if you were to tell me, like, David, can you give me a $250? Like, can I take that out of Tour Junkies and just give it and, like, walk into the shop and go get a bunch of swag? Because I could get some really cool stuff.
Yeah, you can get some good stuff for $250. You know, here's the deal. We just need iTunes reviews. We want them to be honest. If you've not done that for us already, which we know there's thousands of you that have not, because we only have, like 470-something iTunes reviews, and there's a lot more people that listen to us on Apple devices than that. So we know that there's plenty of you who haven't done it, and we're trying to encourage you and incentivize you to do so. So please, that means a lot to us. Go ahead and do that. And if you can't make it to the Masters, that's okay. You'll get us your sizes, your wish list. We'll go into the shopping for you, and we'll ship it to you. All expenses paid by the Tour Junkies. It's that easy. And you can do that between now and Masters Week.
Have you ever left a review on iTunes, David? Like, for not our podcast, but for something else?
No.
You're supposed to say yes there.
Oh, yes, I have.
Okay. Is it that difficult? Like, it can't be that many steps involved in just saying, hey, I like this podcast.
No, it's not hard at all. It's not hard at all.
Okay. I just want to make sure it wasn't difficult, because I'm an older guy. Sometimes when there's like four steps involved, like if there's two steps involved, I'm okay. But if there's four, I don't know. I get a little bit.
Yeah, it's not that many steps. Anyway, you guys got to do that. It's easy. It's easy. And right now, like, if you did it, you're like one of 100 people that is entered. So you got a good chance. Okay. Pat, we have another large announcement before we get into the course breakdown.
Huge announcement.
Do you want to talk about it?
No, I don't. I want you to talk about it, because you.
It's always what you say.
You called him before the podcast and got all the stats down. All I'll say is this guy is pretty damn smart. I'll put it that way. He also will always be a big fan of mine, because I'm a huge fan of his, actually, because he helped me with the Bulldogs national title game. That's actually how a lot of this started, right? Even though we lost.
Yeah, that's just how the discussions got drummed up. But here's what's happening. The Tour Junkies will be adding a new member to the Tour Junkies squad. You know, it's me and Pat, obviously. You've got our boy Ash Morrison, who does a phenomenal job for the European Tour. Ash is over there in the UK. Wish he was closer. Wish he could spend more time over here, but he's over in the UK doing his thing and just writes tremendous European Tour golf content for us. But we are adding a fourth member of the TJ family, and we are excited. His name is Ben Little. He is the Twitter handle that you need to know. You need to go out and follow right now is at TrueMav, TRUMAV. TrueMav. That's the Twitter handle. His name's Ben Little. He's a good dude. He's married. He's got two young boys, similar to you and myself, from the lovely city of Athens, Georgia, home of the University of Georgia Bulldogs.
The beautiful city.
And
the classic city, by the way, as they call it.
The classic city, yeah. And Ben is going to come on board, and Ben is a smart guy, as Pat mentioned. Listen, now Ash is a smart guy too, but Ben is smarter than all three of us. It just is what it is. He's not the best golfer in the group. That's still Ash. But he is smarter than the average bear. And he's been doing some day trading since 2009. He's kind of a day trader guy. Typically always works for himself. So we'll see how he answers to us, right? Because we're hard to work for. I mean, we're gonna really lay the lumber on old Ben. But he is going to be providing some deep content for our listeners, all for free, nothing behind a paywall for us. But he's going to be sending a weekly email. Likely that email is going to come sometime on Wednesday. We felt for a while that that was a piece of what we do that is missing, getting you guys some content late on Wednesday. You know, because we record the show on Mondays. A lot of times, you know, we don't fully understand or can anticipate the ownerships and the, you know, the tea time waves or the who's got a sore tummy ache or whatever. You know, like we don't always get all of that on Monday. So we've always felt like there was some content that we could deliver later on Wednesday. And so we are going to be contributing to this content along with Ben, and Ben's going to really bring his kind of golf nerd side to the Wednesday email. So it's super sharp stuff. Super sharp stuff. I'm excited. I'll tease a couple of things you'll see in the first email coming this Wednesday. Number one is the chalk bomb, right? The chalk bomb. That's going to be one segment where Ben is going to defend, and we're going to defend why you should completely fade a chalk player likely near the top, right? So why you should have that edge against the field by not playing a chalk player. Another fun segment I think is going to be there is 5 to 10 random facts about the course, about the tournament, about players, such as last week, you know, Michael Kim went to Torrey Pines High School, grew up playing Torrey Pines on a junior membership. Well, Michael Kim actually had a pretty good week. He bombed on the stretch down, you know, on Sunday, but he had a good week. So stuff that facts that will add a little bit, maybe be a tiebreaker if you're making a decision between a couple guys. That's just two of the things that Ben's really going to contribute to. It's going to be sharp, sharp stuff. So currently we've got a list of those of you who have, you know, subscribed to our emails before, which we've not done in forever, but we have that list. If you are interested in being a part of that list, you just need to email us, info@tourjunkies.com. And actually, what would be better is if you go to our website. If you go to our website and click on the Contact Us page and fill out that form, which is just name, email, and then in the body of the email, you can say, like, I love you guys. I want in. Like, that's all you got to do. That will put you
in. Do they have to say I love you, or will it still?
No, they don't. Okay. But that will put you on the weekly email that starts this week for the waste management. So I'm really pumped. We've been talking about who the chalk bomb might be. We're going to wait and see what FanShare Sports has to say about a few of these guys come Wednesday. So it'll be a great time to get in on the front, gain your edge. I'm excited. I'm excited to have Ben. Just a great guy. Great synergy with Ben. We've had a good time with Ben. He's going to be cool. So go follow him on Twitter at TrueMav, TrueMav. There you go.
Huge Ben fan. Well, you know I am because spent some time with him at the national championship game at Mercedes-Benz Stadium that we lost. But great dude. I am, and he's just so much smarter than me.
He is so smart. Yeah.
He's
emailed us like some sample stuff, and we're like, okay, we don't understand. Now, we have asked Ben to dumb it down for us in the email. So if you're like us and you're like not
that's day a trading good point. Golf nerd. You need to make that point. Yeah, if you're a golf nerd, okay, or if you're just like a fan like we are, this will be you will be able to read this and actually understand it.
Yeah, yeah.
Like it's not, like picture you being me. Like in reading something. Like, that's what we tell to Ben. Like Ben,
somebody just had a car accident when that happened.
Yeah, Ben, picture your reader as Pat. now give him the content he needs.
Yeah, there you go.
And that's what Ben does.
There you go. It's really gonna be good. It's gonna be good. I'm excited about it. Can't wait to see the first one this week. It's gonna be, you guys would probably like this more than you like our podcast. So all right, well, we know that when we get to this point, when we're almost 30 minutes in, people start getting mad at us because we haven't got to picks yet.
Hate us.
All right, Pat, we got the Waste Management Phoenix Open, TPC Scottsdale. Let's get into the course breakdown, key stats, caddy insight. I'll let you begin.
All right, so yeah, this week, this is one of the most unique tournaments on tour, the Waste Management Open, played at TPC Scottsdale in Scottsdale, Arizona. 7,200 yards. It is a par 71. Here's the thing about this tournament I love. It's just wild. It's crazy. It's like there's no other tournament like this all year. But that being said, for the most part, we're going to be looking at bombers this week. That's what I'm going to be looking at. I mean, that's going to be key. I think this course is one of those courses that bombers can just destroy. You know, you got 3 par fives, you got 11 par fours. All of them, though, you're going to want to have. Here's the thing: you want to have, you know, stroke off the tee. You want to be able to hit these greens with high shots. That's why you got to hit long drives off the tee. You can't just be like putting it in the fairway or whatever. You know, the green surface, you got overseeded rye, some crap. I don't know. That's what you said. I'm okay
this is
with
terrible.
That.
Can I just do the course breakdown? You're sucking.
Yeah, go do the
God,
course breakdown.
Jeez. It's overseeded Bermuda. That's what it is, Pat. This is
or overseeded rye.
No, it's over the rye is the overseed. It's Bermuda that they overseed with rye.
I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Jeez. there are a lot of drivers hit on the course. I do think bombers are okay, but I'm not weighting that stat very heavily. This is a strokes gained approach, pounding greens kind of golf course. So our caddy inside this week said that the number, you know, we always ask him to circle 3 stats. Well, this is interesting. He actually circled 2. He circled birdie or better percentage, and then he circled strokes gained approach twice and just said that's it. So I'm surprised
strokes gained off the tee wasn't in there. Driving distance is, to me, a key this week. I mean, this is one of those courses where you can just bomb it off the tee. Yes, there are a lot of bunkers in the fairways and whatever that you got to avoid, but I don't think, you know, they're a huge deal. I would think strokes gained off the tee would be coming up here.
Well, that's not what he said, so there you go. Okay. They said 15 plus years experience. No.
All right. Well, I'm going to take over back over here. Looking at past champs, you got Hideki last year. You got Hideki the year before. You got Man Crush in 2015. If you don't know who Man Crush is, that is Brooks Koepka, who David loves. In 2014, you have Kevin Stadler.
Okay. Yeah.
Whatever.
Young Walrus.
2013, you had Mickelson, who has won here before. I don't know when it was before he won that in 2013. But here's the thing with him. I don't know if you remember that year. He had a chance to break 60 and didn't do it on the last hole.
Yeah.
Just lipped out.
Yeah. Okay, is that it?
That's all I got on the past champs.
Okay, so you interrupted my course breakdown just to do that?
No, it's my course breakdown. I just let you have it for a second. Because I was fledgling there for a while. So now I'm back on, and I'm just worried about why you didn't like strokes gained off the tee.
Don't worry about it. You do you. Let me do me. I think distance obviously helps, as it helps in every week. If you can hit the ball a long way, you know, you're at an advantage, but I don't think it's as necessary, you know, and I don't think this is we had our caddy break down the percentages, right, between form, course history, and stat fit, and form was 40%, okay, course history was 30, right there, and then the stat fit was 30, so I just don't think, I don't know, I care more about the form. And I think the stat fit is basically saying you need ball striking guys from the fairways that are going to put it on the greens. It's a tee to green course, and you need guys that are going to make birdies. So that's where I'm at. So that's what I'm looking at.
Okay, I'm good there.
Yeah, last couple of years we've had 17 under, 16 under, 15 under, 16 under win, and I want birdies, and I want strokes gained approach. That's what I want. I'll lean Bombers if I got a good Bomber who can do both the approach and score, and he's in good form and he's got decent history. I'm all for it. I'm probably going to pick a lot of Bombers, but I just don't think that's a key. I really zoned in my key stat to those two. I'm buying what our boy's selling.
Okay. Good.
Okay. You're annoying me tonight. I'm irritated with you right now. Should let you know. I might like Ben more than you, actually.
Well, that's not surprising.
I'm just kidding, Pat. I'm just kidding. I love you, bud.
All right, let's go on. Let's get into the picks here.
All right, let's get into the picks. So to start it off, we got Hideki, back-to-back defending champ. Finally had him a good week last week. I was a little shocked. He kind of backdoored a top, 11 or whatever it was last week. But Hideki had 11-5. And then you got Jordan, Rahm, of course, the Arizona narrative, Fowler, Justin Thomas. So for me, here's what I think. I'm really tempted. I don't know. I'm very tempted to go all the way up to Hideki, but I'm not. I'm also tempted to play Rahm because I still think, I mean, he was only like, according to Fanshare last week, he was only like 19% owned, which I thought was lower on average, which I thought was lower than he was going to be. And then he had the crappy weekend. So that'll probably lower his ownership some more. I do love him on this course. I think he's perfect for this course. He's had two good appearances here. He's gained 16 strokes in those two appearances, but that also doesn't count his appearance in 2013 when he played as an amateur. But I think I'm going to go more Jordan Spieth. I think he's my guy at 11-4. He's gained 17 strokes here in the last 5 years. He's in good form, and you know, he's one of those guys who can hit it long enough. He's kind of an in-betweener, right? He's not a little short knocker, but he can hit it long enough when he needs to. But I think the irons are dialed in. The short game is as good as, you know, well, it's not great right now, but it's good. And I just feel good about Spieth at 11-4. And I think, I think he's going to be a play, and then I am also going to have a little Justin Thomas. That price at 10-3 for JT, for that kind of score, you know, can take advantage of his length, obviously. Not a tremendous record here, but I think Justin Thomas, when you can get Justin Thomas as the fifth price guy, I like that. So those are the two I'm rolling with. I'm not mad at anybody in here. Like, if anybody just wants to play one of these guys, I'm with you. I'm not going to, like, talk you out of it. You know, we'll see what FanshareSports.com has to say about ownership come Wednesday. But, you know, I just think Spieth and Thomas are the two I'm going to lean to.
Do you worry at all with JT with the fact that he's missed two straight cuts here?
No. I mean, he's just such a good his value is just so good to me. And maybe
he checks the box like on birdie or better percentage, which we've talked about as something you want to look at least on the past several rounds that he's played.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, it does concern me. I can't say it doesn't concern me, but here's the thing. Like, I think there's a lot of good values near the bottom and in the mid sevens that I might play that might be a little chalky. And so I don't know. I'm hoping that Spieth and JT are a little lower owned than Hideki with his history and Rahm with the Arizona narrative. Like, I'm just hoping that they're a little lower owned. If people are scared off of the JT course history, that's fine with me.
Well, here's the thing with Hideki too. I mean, you look at last week, he was one of the top putters in the field last week. Which is crazy
nuts.
To me.
Yeah.
That's just nuts. Because we always talk about his putting is just awful. But he actually putted pretty well last week. So I can understand why Hideki would be a decent play. And obviously he's won here twice in a row. So I don't know. I can't argue if you're going to play him. But for me, I would much rather drop down. I love some Ricky Fowler. I think, and you know, I liked him last week and whatever else. But I think after missing a cut, you know, this is a course where he's gained 24 strokes on the last 4 years or the last 5 years. You look at it as, you know, a T4 and a T2 in the last 5 years. I think that from a GPP standpoint, I think Ricky Fowler is a fantastic play. You know, also checks the box and strokes gained off the tee. So I think that Ricky, I don't know why you wouldn't want to take a, if you think it's a flyer on him, the only thing I would worry about would be his ownership, only because Ricky Fowler is just always a popular play, just because of who he is. But I do like him this week. And then Jordan Spieth for me. I think, you know, checks a box and strokes gain approach, strokes gain off the tee. 11-4, if I'm going to be choosing between Hideki and a guy like Jordan or a guy like John Rahm, I'm going Jordan Spieth here. You know, he's had a little bit of a break. I think this is a good price for him. He's obviously going to check every box you want. I mean, I can mention strokes gained approach or off the tee, but it doesn't matter. He's going to check all of them. So those are going to be my favorite plays right here in this over 10K range.
You know, I mentioned FanShare Sports just a minute ago as far as checking ownerships. By the way, in their blog last Wednesday, Logan, who does their ownership preview or whatever, actually called out Alex Noren as a good opportunity as a pivot play. It'll be interesting to see what he says this week. I think you're going to have to look for pivot plays in this top, you know, in the 9K and above range again this week. So, you know, maybe Spieth and JT are potential pivots up there, but I don't know. We'll just have to check out fansharesports.com, and you can still get on that par 72 special at fansharesports.com that ends on Wednesday. So if you do that, you pay $7.20 a month for fansharesports.com, which is very well worth it. $7.20 a month is nothing. So it's a great tool to have. It goes up to like 10 bucks a month or something, $9 a month after. So check that out. That is, that's going to be something I'll be looking at, because I don't mind the Fowler play again coming off the bad week. And he's always done really well here for the most part. He's gained strokes here. So I don't mind it. Like I said, I don't mind any of these plays up here. But in the 9K range, you got four guys. You got Leishman, Daniel Berger, Alex Noren, and Tony Finau. Pat, I'll let you start here. Who do you like here?
Well, here's the thing. I am a big fan of playing studs and duds this week if we're talking about strategy. So there's not a whole lot of guys in here that I do like, but my favorite guy is Daniel Berger. I love him this week. He fits the bill on course history, also strokes gained approach. I don't mind that price at 9,500. You know, again, this is a guy we haven't seen. Like, he's not like lighting, you know, the tour on fire right now. But I think, you know, he was T14th at the Sony, which was the last tournament he played. So he's had a little bit of a break, you know, which I like. I actually like playing guys that are you know, have had some, you know, downtime. Unlike Rahm, who's just been playing, you know, it seems like every week. So I think Daniel Berger at 9,500 is a fantastic play and a guy that I'm going to have in a lot of lineups, especially since I'm going to go studs and duds.
All right, well, I'm only going to have one guy predominantly in this category as well, and that's at 9,100, Tony Finau.
Ugh, God. Why? Everybody got to like Tony Finau every single week.
Well, I mean, he scores a lot. You know, if you look in the last 5 years, he's finished top 20 in birdie or better two out of the last five. He's done the same, and actually he's done it three times in par five birdie or better. He's gonna score. I like that. He's gained 13 strokes total in the last 5 weeks on tour, so he's scoring right now. He's gaining strokes on the field. I mean, he's your bomber, which you like, so I don't know why you wouldn't like him.
I'm not. I don't hate the pick. I'm just.
I just think if Finau were 9,500 and Berger were 9,100, I'd probably be on Berger. It's kind of a savings thing. Like I'm with you. I like the studs and duds approach, but I also like pairing, you know, Jordan or JT with, you know, Finau and one other guy I'm about to talk about, and then going down and like getting somebody from this group in. And I think I just picked the lower guy. But that's kind of where I'm at. Sidebar on Tony Finau, though, Pat. I will be doing a little video with Tony Finau live on Monday after the Waste Management Open. That should be interesting. So stay tuned for that.
Why am I not going?
Everyone. No, you can go. You can. But that should be fun. Should be a good time. I can't say much other than that, but it will be good. All right, I'll kick off the $8,000 range. The guy I was talking about that I would do other than Finau is Webb. I love Webb here. At 8,900, he's gained 30 strokes total in the last 5 years at TPC Scottsdale. He's in great form, having gained 15 strokes in his last five tournaments on the field. In the last 5 years, he's been top 20 in strokes gained approach three out of the last 5 years. Three. Twice out of the last 5 years in strokes gained around the green. I think Weber's a good play. He scores well on par threes, scores well on par fours. So, and in fact, two out of the last 5 years, top 20 in par five birdie or better. And was in the playoff, lost in the playoff here last year to Hideki. Finau and Webb right there. If I were not going to play anyone in that 10,000 and above range, I would start my lineups Finau and Webb. Other than that, in the 8K range, I love Matt Kuchar. We haven't seen him for a minute. He's gained 11 strokes here at TPC Scottsdale in the last 5 years. $8,400 is a good price for Kuchar. He's a likely cut maker. Probably be chalky, as he typically is, but I just think the price is too good. And he's also, him and Webb actually are kind of the same, right in the same spot on fantasy draft too, if you're going to play fantasy draft. By the way, Hideki, the third price guy on fantasy draft and the top price guy on DK. So if I have any Hideki exposure, it may be on fantasy draft. But Kuchar I like on both formats. And the last guy in the 8K range I also like in both DraftKings and fantasy draft, and that's Byung-Hun An. 8,000 on DK, 14-1 on fantasy draft. He's played here once. That was last year. He finished sixth. So I think he's a little. I'm not going to have any Byung-Hun An in cash. I would not do that. He's a little volatile, but I do like him in a GPP play.
Yeah, I think with Byung-Hun An, I like him. For some reason, I just like him more on fantasy draft. I don't know why.
He's basically the same. Value.
He's basically the same price, but I just like how he fits into my lineups on fantasy draft. Okay. But I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised you didn't mention Mickelson.
Dude, he was everywhere this past
but
week.
Here's the thing with him. This is a guy.
Are you about to sell
me
on Mickelson?
No, here I'm going to sell you right now on Mickelson. Oh, he is a guy that takes a little while to kind of get into tournament shape. We always see him obviously come around Masters Week. You know, he's gained 34 strokes in the last 5 years on this course. He scores. He obviously makes birdies. He makes eagles. He goes for everything. I mean, we know Mickelson. That's just what he does. Here's where he has not been well, and that is on off the tee and approach, which are two of our biggest things that we're talking about this week. But it's one of those things where, like, he can get – that can come back to him – immediately, like we don't know when that's going to come back. And so if you're looking at a GPP play, to me at 8,500, that could be a pretty good play. I'm totally with you on Webb, though, for all the reasons you said. I think Webb Simpson is just a great play this week. Cooch is the same. I'm with you there. Harris English, though, at 8,100.
Oh, jeez. You another and Harris
Bulldog.
English.
No, look, he's gained 23 strokes.
He's playing very well right now, but $8,100, I'm still not ready to pull the trigger
okay,
on Harrison.
Okay, so I'll battle you all day on that. I think that he is a great play. He's gained 23 strokes on the field in the last five events that he's played here. He's had a third-place finish. He's had a ninth-place finish. I think Harris English is a fantastic play, and I don't mind that price at 8,100 at all.
The price increase is stupid. He was 7,000 at the Career Builder. I can't remember what it was.
I'm okay
last
with
week.
That. I'm all right.
I just don't think the value is there for Harris English. I will tell you one play that I think on fantasy draft you have to make. This guy is priced. He's the 33rd priced guy on fantasy draft. He's the 16th on DraftKings, and that's Ryan Moore, who also has a tremendous history here. I'm not a fan of him on DraftKings, but on Fantasy Draft, where pricing is a little tighter and you got to really pick your spots, Ryan Moore gives you a tremendous savings at 13.5. So
he's a guy that, here's the thing, this is where you have a guy that hasn't played a tour event
in forever. In a while, yeah.
And so you get a guy that's a little bit cheaper priced that nobody's seen. Listen, these guys are practicing every single week. They are putting the work in. If you get a guy like Ryan Moore, you know, where you can get him cheap, especially on fantasy draft at his price, take him. Go ahead and just take advantage of that.
All right, the 7K is where I love things. I love a lot of things in the 7K range, especially 74 and above. So I don't want to name them all, but I'll start, and then we'll kind of let you fill in, and then I'll come back.
You start because I'm going to refill. So you go ahead and start.
Well, it is going to be tough to avoid Ryan Palmer. Man, I was heartbroken for Palmer. I really wanted him to come out and win this thing last week for the Farmers. He just played great. Such a great story. He struggled trying to close that whole thing at the end, but he loves TPC Scottsdale. He's gained 23 strokes on the field here in the last 5 years. He's gained 20 strokes in the last five tournaments. Five or six tournaments. He's just gaining strokes left and right. This is kind of a draw golf course for right-handers, a lot of right-to-left shots. I think that is Palmer's ball flight, is that bombing right-to-left draw. So I like that. I love the price. I mean, God, the fact that Ryan Palmer is $200 less than Harris English, sign me up. So I love the Ryan Palmer play. Also love the decrease in price on Patton Kizzire. I'm really a fan of that. I think that's a great value at 7,700. You know, hadn't seen him, you know, since the career builder where he finished 42nd, but he was coming off a playoff victory and blah, blah, blah. You know, but in those two events, career builder and Sony, Patton scored 21 birdies at the career builder and 22 and an eagle at the Sony. My boy Patton is feeling it. And at 7,700, I think he's a very likely cut maker with great upside. You know, now a two-time winner on the PGA Tour. The next play, I think, is going to be a pivot play. We'll see what FanshareSports.com has to say about this come Wednesday. But his course history here sucks. And, you know, the last time we saw him, you know, it was pretty good. Actually, the last three times we've seen him, it was pretty good. But his course history sucks. At 7,700, Kevin Chappell. I love some Chappy this week. I think when you talk about strokes gained approach and a good iron player and a guy who can gain strokes flagging down pins, I like Kevin Chappell. And I think he's going to be a pivot play because a guy like Zach Johnson, I think, is going to eat up some ownership with a good history here and also in good form. I think Chappell could get lost in that $76 to $7,900 price range. So I like him. We'll see if Fanshare agrees. You know, maybe he gets talked up some more. Maybe he ends up being a popular play, but that's who I like. Are you back with us yet, Pat?
I'm here. I don't know about Chappell. I think that I would much rather stay on Zach Johnson, who you think is a pivot play off of. But if you just look at, you know, course history the last 3 years, he has not finished outside the top 15. He's gained just over 22 strokes on the field. You know, he checks the box in birdie or better percentage and DraftKings scoring. So I just don't see how you could.
Yeah.
If you're going to fade a guy, I don't think Zach's a guy to fade off of to Chappell. Like, no, I might go a different guy, like maybe an Ollie Schneiderjens or something.
Yeah, I don't think it's a complete fade on ZJ at all. Don't get me wrong. And I love him from a cash perspective. I do think he's going to be really chalky in GPPs. That's the only reason I said I think Chappell could be a pivot. But I agree. I don't think he completely fades ZJ either. He's been playing great, and he does obviously play well on this course.
Here's the thing, you know, I think Scott Piercy's a good play at 7,500.
Ooh, I like Piercy.
I was a little bit surprised that you didn't mention him. He's got decent course history. You know, he was third here in 2013. He was T15 in 2014. You know, last year he didn't have, I think he may have, did he miss a cut last year? I'm not sure. He didn't finish well here last year, but It wasn't a good year for Scott Piercy. And if you look at the way he's performed lately, his game has definitely improved. He has shown that, you know, he may be coming rounding back into the form in that 2015-2014, you know, season. So I think Scott Piercy could be a pretty good sort of GPP play this week. What are your thoughts on him?
No, I had Piercy highlighted. I just didn't get down to him. I agree. I like Piercy. He's a desert kind of golf guy. He lives in Vegas. I'm a fan. I'm in complete agreement.
Wow, that's, I feel like, it's good news. Here's another guy, the guy you've loved all year, right there in that same price range, JJ Spahn. I don't see how you can get off of him again this week. I mean,
can't quit him.
No, you can't. You know, he was T23 last week at the Farmers, has just been playing fantastic. Checks a box. You know, greens in regulation is one of the things that we've mentioned, I think. I can't remember. But JJ Spahn checks a box there. Also, strokes gained approach and birdie or better percentage. The guy's just, when is he going to win? Because it's coming soon.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I just don't want to be off of him for when that happens. He was, he was tied for fourth here last year in his first attempt. Ball striking, strokes gained approach, same blah blah blah, same thing we've said for the last 3 weeks. Yes, play JJ Spahn. Like cash, yeah. GPP, play JJ Spahn.
Okay, one more that I'm going to mention that I absolutely love, and he checks the box for me on that birdie or better percentage that I love, is Cam Smith at 7,400. I think you're not going to like this play, but if you look at his last three events, T20 at the Farmers, T18 at the Sony, and he's T17 at the Tournament of Champions, so that's middle of the pack because there's only like 30-something guys. But I think Cam Smith is a sneaky good play at this price. I like the price for him this week, and so I will have some Cam Smith in my lineups.
Well, I actually love Cam Smith this week. He's another one I had highlighted. I love the form. I love the price at 7,400. I mean, he was like 8K or 9K last week, so he takes a nice dip in price. Last week for the Farmers Insurance, strokes gained, tee to green. He was tied for 17th in the field, nearly gaining 5 strokes tee to green. Great all-around game for Cam Smith. I mean, off the tee, approach, around the green, putting, everything just clicking for him. He hits it long enough. I'm with you. I love some Cam Smith. Love some JJ Spahn. I agree with the Scott Piercy pick. I do think another potential pivot that you kind of touched on that I didn't stop you, but I think Ollie, coming off the missed cut, he missed the cut on the number at the Farmers, okay? When you look at his stats last week, he was struggling a little bit off the tee. He only hit 40-something percent of his fairways and just couldn't really recover, but he did miss the cut on the number. Prior to that, had a good finish at the Career Builder. We know he's a ball striker, a great iron player. He finished tied for 24th here in 2017. I think Ollie is another one of those bounce back, you know, candidates and potential pivot off of Zach Johnson if you're looking for, you know, a less popular play. I told you I love the $7,600 range. As we keep dropping down, I think Hudson Swafford is an interesting play at 7,400. In decent form. He just, I don't know, just feels like he doesn't have like a tremendous history here, but he feels like another, you know, solid cut maker. T29 at the Career Builder with 17 birdies and an eagle. He's a total driving kind of guy. So if you're looking at strokes gained off the tee, somebody who's long and accurate, that's kind of Swafford.
Yeah, here's the thing with Swafford too. I mean, he's right there priced on Fantasy Draft next to Brandon Harkins, who is a guy we've been on a ton.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want kind of a pivot play off of Harkins, if you're playing a GPP, I think Hudson Swafford could be that guy. Also, Luke List at 12-3.
Yeah, on Fantasy Draft, yes. I think Swafford will definitely be lower owned than Harkins and List on Fantasy Draft. I could see that happening. I like another guy just below Ali Schniederjans. He's below Ali Schniederjans on DraftKings. That's Russell Knox, the 26th ranked player on DraftKings. On Fantasy Draft, he's the 40th ranked player, so a 13-1. I like his value there on fantasy draft mainly. I'm not usually a fan of playing Russell Knox on DraftKings. Just doesn't score a lot. But
what about so you mentioned Russell Knox right there with him on fantasy draft is Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
What are we doing
with Bubba? You know, that goes back to, like, I told you this. I mentioned it was Ryan Palmer. This course sets up for a right-to-left ball flight for right-handers. So, obviously, left-to-right for a guy like Bubba. I mean, Bubba has really just owned this.
I feel like he should have won this tournament before.
In a little over 40 rounds at TPC Scottsdale, Bubba is 100 under par at Scottsdale. 100. That's a lot.
Wait, 100? And how many rounds?
40.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm not even that for, like, a quarter of that for my life.
Well, of course not. No. No, you're over par. If you'd have to be a scratch golfer at least to be doing that.
No, but I mean, I'm talking about, like, if you take all the pars I've had, all the birdies I've had.
Well, yeah, you've probably never made 100 birdies.
No, I haven't.
Right. Okay. Anyway. Yes, Bubba, we're not talking about your game. We're talking about Bubba. Okay. I mean, for fantasy draft, he's a very interesting play. I still don't... I don't know. I'm undecided on DraftKings with him. I think I'll probably fade him on DK, but...
Yeah. It's Monday. You got some time, buddy.
All right, who else do you like in the low sevens? On DK, you got Keegan Bradley, who's obviously coming off a good week. Bud Cauley at 7,300 is tough to avoid. He's playing really well right now. James Hahn, I think, could be an interesting play. Didn't have the best finish this past week, but he's been in great form. He's a local guy, practices here at TPC Scottsdale. I think he's the kind of playful guy that thrives off the energy at the Waste Management as well. I think maybe hopping back on Hahn, who maybe disappointed some people. What, he finished like T45 this past week or something?
Yeah.
I think he's an interesting one, probably be under-owned. Yeah.
Well, I think, you know, you mentioned Bud Cauley. I think Bud Cauley is a great play at 7,300. Checks a box on strokes gained approach and off the tee. To me, that's just a fantastic price for him. I like Grillo.
I kind of like Grillo, too.
You know, strokes gained off the tee. He checks the box there. But here's a guy that just, I don't know. He's a absolute stud. He had a pretty good week, except for Sunday. But he was in the later groups on Sunday at the Farmers last week. And I think he got, you know, kind of caught up in the weather a little bit. I think he could have finished higher. Actually, he didn't even... He wasn't even terrible, but he even got a top 15 finish. But, you know, he's 13th in the field in strokes gained off the tee. He is a guy that can score. He likes these fairways, these greens. I think Grillo is a good play at 7,200. Now, another guy that I'm going to throw out, or we're not going to the 6,000 range yet, are we?
Yeah, go ahead.
So, I'm going to go at the top of the 6,000 range. I'm loving some Kevin Na, who is a guy that I feel like should be in the 7,000 range.
Yeah, he's underpriced for sure.
Yeah, I don't understand it. I mean, he checks the box and strokes gained approach. His course history is good. He has gained 24 strokes on the field in the last 5 years on this at this, you know, course. So, also, not sure I understand that.
He's a Vegas guy. So, again, desert golf. You know, him and Scott Piercy and Charlie Hoffman play that desert golf stuff. I think it suits his eye. He's also rocking a mustache now. Not sure if you knew that.
Mm-hmm.
He put it on his Instagram. He asked people if he should keep the stash or not. It's kind of scary. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I like the Kevin Na play as well. One more play in the sevens I like. I'm not going to stop with Robert Garrigus right now at 7,000. You know, the way he's scoring, at least. Not the best finish prior to last week, but he had a good finish at the Farmers. He's gained 9 strokes over the last 5 years at this event, so he's familiar. He's okay. I just think I think you play the form and you keep riding a little Garrigus. Also in the 6K range continues to be tough for me just from a cut making standpoint to quit Chesson Hadley. I mean, he's in good form and he's in the 6Ks. Like, as long as you keep giving it to me, I feel like when I put him in the lineup, I'm at least going to get a made cut right now. He's been playing, you know, he played well at the Career Builder. He played okay at the Career Builder. Didn't finish great, but he scored 24 birdies at the Career Builder. And then had an okay week last week at the Farmers. But I don't mind a little Chesson. I don't know when I'm going to stop playing Brandon Harkins either. We've been on him for weeks now, and he just continues to crush. Just crush. We learned last week, I mean, he's a California guy. Went to Chico State in California. So, you know, West Coast, putting on these overseeded Bermuda / POA surfaces. Absolute bomber. Scores on par fives. Racks up the birdies and the eagles. I'm continuing to love Brandon Harkins, and I will continue to play him in the 6K range all day long.
Yeah, I can't argue with him. Here's the thing. What about Billy Horschel?
Interesting.
There's two guys here that I love, actually, in this 6 range. Martin Laird, Billy Horschel, both at 6,800. Billy Horschel has gained almost 20 strokes on the field. Martin Laird's gained almost 24 strokes on the field. Both have great course history here. They haven't played fantastic, but Billy Horschel is one of those guys that, like, he saw last year. I mean, he just came out of nowhere and beat Jason Day in the playoffs.
Which was just so stupid.
It's just stupid. But to me, that's a sign of a decent GPP play. A guy like that who just comes out of nowhere, knows how to play the course, has obviously had a good course history here. You know, screw the stats, throw them all out. Another guy here, and right there at 6,900, is Willie McGirt. We haven't even talked about him at all.
No, I'm not.
Gained 23
of him.
Strokes on the field. If you look at his last 5 years, T24, T24, T30, T19, and T32. He's never finished outside of the top 35 in 5 years, and he's at 6,900 on DraftKings.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of McGirt. I'm not. That's a pure course history play to me. I'm not seeing it. The Horschel
play.
So, over
5 years, though.
The Horschel play I can be talked into. I am a fan of Martin Laird. Martin Laird's another guy that lives right here near this golf course, practices and plays a lot here. Martin Laird, Robert Garrigus, James Hahn, all some low-priced guys that spend time on this golf course and are familiar. I'm with you there. And I think a lot of people are going to go to that Kevin Streelman play because they're going to see the name. You know, he's been playing well. Decent, finished okay, struggled on the weekend, I think, at the Farmers, but a top 30 at Career Builder, top 20 at the RSM, top 20 at OHL, and they're going to see that price. I think Laird and Horschel are both decent GPP pivots from Kevin Streelman, but I'm not interested in the McGirt play at all.
Why do you not play McGirt? Why?
I do play McGirt. I don't know.
No, I mean, why not this week?
I mean, just not tremendous. I mean, we saw him at the Sony. He finished 65th. He scored 12 birdies. He just didn't look great.
Yeah, but he was in the top 10 at the RSM.
Okay, but that was in November. I'm going off of a little more recent form than that. I don't know. McGirt, I just never feel great with McGirt. Which I guess if that's the case, then you play him when he's in the 6K range because he's a risk, but... I mean,
I just think for a guy that if you're looking at a guy, it's 6,900 who's never finished in the last 5 years outside of the T32. Okay, that's a good play. That's a good play.
I would rather play Chesson. I would rather play Harkins. I would rather play Laird. I would rather play Streelman. I don't know. I do think like Horschel, McGirt, I feel equally as awkward with both of those guys. But I would rather play those other four guys over McGirt. And three of them are cheaper. One of them's the same price. That's just me.
Okay.
Is there anybody cheaper than Billy Horschel that you like?
No, I'm done.
Okay, well, I don't know. I
feel like you're going to give us something here.
All right, I'm going to give you two at the bare minimum. I think Brian Gay and Morgan Hoffman, both at 6,600, are just interesting. Brian Gay's in good form. I mean, gained 16 strokes in the last six events. Morgan Hoffman seems to like it here. Gained 7 shots in the last 5 years. He can score on par fives. He's a scorer when he's on. He's a total disaster when he's not. But, you know, those are just GPP flyers. If I were going to throw them out there, that's what I would do. On fantasy draft, about as low as I'm willing to go. And listen, on fantasy draft, you've got, you know, I do think you have to go a little more balanced. So, but I think if you can sneak in, I think fantasy draft, I may try to go like Hideki. Because that's the thing on fantasy draft. Most people go balanced. If one of the guys in the top five hit, and then you have the rest make the cut, you're gaining an edge. Because like I think the popular play on DraftKings is going to be studs and duds. But on fantasy draft, it's typically balanced. Just because the pricing is a little tighter, it's harder to find the value at the bottom. But, you know, some values on fantasy draft, like Michael Kim at 11-2, Garrigus at 11-9, Laird at 12-2, Swafford at 12-3, who we mentioned, Knox at 13-1, who we mentioned, Spawn at 13-4, Ryan Moore at 13-5. Like, those guys are good value. You can plug some of those guys in and throw in like a Hideki Webb look. I think that's a decent tour card lineup for fantasy draft, if you ask me. So we both had Justin Rose as our one-and-done picks last week, which, you know, I mean, what did he get, top 7, top 8? Not terrible.
Yeah, he was out there.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted him to win, but obviously it's not terrible. Yeah, he was tied for 8th. So for this week's one-and-done, Pat, who are you going to use? Who are you liking? Is it going to be a bomber?
I am going to go with Phil Mickelson.
Oh, my Lord. Phil, huh?
Yep.
Nice. All right. I'm going to go with another guy that I think is going to be not as popular as a one-and-done play. So when he wins, I'm going to go for gaining a little edge this week. I'm going to go with Ryan Palmer as my one-and-done. Love the form, love the confidence. Just locked up his tour card 2 weeks ago. All the pressure's off. He played great last week down the stretch. A right-to-left bomber's course. 20-something strokes gained over the last 5 years here. I like it. I like him way more than Phil, for a show.
You really sound like you know what you're talking about, but I think you're going to be wrong this week.
All right, once again, that's the show. We hope you guys have some green screens this week. Don't forget the road to Augusta. Don't forget the $250 credit to the Masters Pro Shop for just simply leaving an iTunes review. Don't forget to shoot us an email. Go to the Contact Us on the Contact Us page on tourjunkies.com and let us know if you want in on the Ben Little email come Wednesday night. That's going to be absolute fire. At True Mav, TRU Mav. Go follow Ben. It's going to be a good time. Love the waste management. No matter what happens, no matter how my screens look, I'm going to be excited to watch. It's a fun event. It's going to be a good time. I'm excited about it. David Barnett for the Tour Junkies. Thanks for listening. May your screens be green. See ya.
Out. Oh.